So it's a matter of sitting through the fear, sitting through the discomfort, trusting, believing in yourself, knowing that this will work out. And for me, I had to use a lot of mantras, all is well, you know, everything is working out for the best for me and everybody involved, really playing a lot of mind games, which I still do to this day, positive affirmations to get my mind in the right place. But making courageous decisions can sound very sexy and very glamorous, and it is. It can be very sexy and very glamorous, but there is also the other side of fear and sitting in the fear and trying to figure out how to get through the fear. So I have lived that. I've lived it.
Welcome to The Courage Effect. I'm Suzanne Weller, and this is a show about growth and unleashing what's possible. You will hear inspiring stories about what courage looks like, how we navigate what's getting in our way, and the opportunities that surface when we choose courage over comfort. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Courage Effect. It's wonderful to have you here today. My guest today is somebody who has recently written a book, and I'm thrilled to have her here to talk about it and her larger life and professional experience. My guest is Kate Walker. Kate is an executive consultant, life coach, HR expert, and author. Following 20 years of senior HR experience at global firms, including Nintendo and Publicis, she left the corporate world in 2021 to found Kate Walker Consulting, where she works to enhance leader skills, impacting company culture and profits. Kate's Amazon bestseller, A Candid Conversation, Lessons in Life, Love, and Leadership, is a combined memoir and guide offering lessons in self-awareness, empowerment, and success. Kate, a pleasure to have you here. Welcome to The Courage Effect.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you. I appreciate that introduction. I'm really happy to be here. I'm excited.
Me too. So I just read your book, and it details such a personal and courageous journey, starting from your childhood to ending an unhealthy relationship and leaving your corporate career to create a life on your own terms. What really strikes me is that there have been a lot of pivot points in your life. So I'd love to start the conversation today with you speaking to some of those pivot points and how they eventually led you to writing the book.
Yes. Well, wow. Thank you for reading the book. I appreciate it. I know you're seeing my face like, oh my gosh, wow. My wow face. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes. I wrote the book in the spirit of sharing these different pivot points that I know the podcast here is called The Courage Effect. A lot of these pivot points took a lot of courage. So I'm happy to be here talking about these things, but I feel like there's always been, I guess, a calling, for lack of a better word, to bring me to a different place. And my first pivot point, I would have to say, which I write about in the book, is my desire to go away to college. I went, I think, maybe 500 miles away thereabouts to college. I left my hometown that I grew up in to go to San Diego. I live in California. And that felt like a very exciting change, a very exciting pivot point, an exciting new chapter for me based on some things that had happened in high school and just growing up. I was ready to see something new, see new people, meet new people, and to a degree, reinvent myself. It's like, how can I get to how can I be my authentic self or the best version of myself in a different environment? So that's what led me to go to San Diego and to go out of the area for college. And it really was a great pivotal point for me. I met some incredible people that are still friends today. I had an exceptional academic experience, which I didn't really have in high school. So really pursued a degree that felt really interesting to me, which was communication, actually. And definitely one of the biggest pivot points so far in my life was that the desire to go to college, go away to college.
That's great. It also strikes me as that when you're talking about growing up as a girl and sort of the different phases that you go through, right? And wanting to, like, starting off with being more of the good girl and then transitioning a little bit.
Yeah.
How was that for you when you went to college? Was there like an identity shift in that pivot?
I think there was, like you talked about, I was a rule follower in my earliest days, definitely a people pleaser, really going with the flow, trying to always be just, you know, blending in and all of that. And then as I write about in the book, there came a point in time where I got mad. I got really mad in my teenage years. I got mad at, you know, school. I got mad at friends. I was mad at my parents. I was mad at a lot of different things. And that was a pretty unfortunate energy to live in all the time, being angry all the time. So yes, I do feel like when I went to college, I put that kind of happy hat back on because I was feeling happier. I was feeling in a better space. I was reinventing myself. I was finding friendships and clubs for that matter that were making me happy. And that to me is a space that for all of my life has been a happier space to live in, obviously. And there have been different pivot points along the way where I found myself back in that negative energy due to different things. And that's not, it's not where I like to be. And I've learned as I've gotten older that you really have to be very intentional with your thinking, your thoughts, your mind in especially those decision-making points that get you to a better place, but managing some of those runaway thoughts that I have a lot of all the time. It's a constant opportunity and challenge to get my mind right. But yes, it does feel a lot better to be in just a more positive place in general. I have learned that.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Well, and I'd love for you to transition a little bit to ending your relationship because that was
Yeah.
obviously massively transformational in your
Oh
life.
gosh. Yeah. So in my mid-20s, I met a guy and really was interested in him, despite the yellow flags and red flags, which I write about in the book. But I was so desired to be in a relationship that I let those flags. I ignored them, and obviously hindsight is 2020, but really wanted to be in this relationship very, very badly. And this person was obviously, well, not obviously, but became a very good friend over the years, and we decided to get married. And then we decided to have two children. And raising young children is hard. It's hard work. It's very challenging. And the toddler energy and the baby energy and not knowing what to do or how to do it. You're trying to find books that will help you. So they were some very, very challenging times. And then moving into a fixer-upper house, that was a whole other that's a whole other challenge. And life became very difficult, very difficult. It became difficult to have basic conversations. What do you want for dinner? That became a very challenging conversation. It became really, really hard. And I was in a very dark place, which I write about in the book. I was in a really, really hard place that was just the depths of despair and sadness, especially knowing how unhappy I was in the relationship, but having two young children. That's what I had to really reconcile. It's like, I know this isn't right. This is going in a not good direction. I'm very unhappy, but I have these two children and now they're going to come from a broken home. Is that's what this is? That's where my life has gone. And that was very, very sad to me as well, which I write about in the book. So I did, it was a mutual decision. I'm not going to say I made it alone. It was my then husband at the time and I having a lot of very deep conversations about the future. And so it was a mutual decision to part ways, but I took more initiative in filing for divorce and moving out. And that was the hardest decision I've ever made. That was by far the hardest decision I've ever made because, again, it was not only about me, but I had two children to worry about as well. That was really, really difficult, but I made it through. I lived to tell the tale. So it can go from a very sad, unfortunate place to getting out the other side. So I have gotten out to the other side.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And what really struck me too is that you've cultivated such strong relationships with your kids.
Oh yes, thank goodness for that. Yes. In fact, you and I were talking before we started recording and it was my younger son's birthday over the weekend and my older son who's away at college flew up to help us celebrate. And I told them as we were sitting together, I said, "This feels so good. I'm so blessed. I'm so lucky that we're friends. We like each other. We have fun together." So that is something that has been also very intentional for me in raising them is being a parent. But also trying to establish nice relationships with them where we enjoy each other. So I feel super lucky about my boys and I being really close and liking each other, appreciating each other.
That's great. What's their response to been, sorry, what has their response been to your book?
Well, it's interesting because when I was writing the book, I really had my head down. I was very focused on trying to see if I could even do this. It's a gigantic project, writing a book. It's a gigantic project. And I had my head down. I was dedicating weekends to writing the book. It was so I was in my own world and I was not telling anyone really that I was writing a book except for the publisher I worked with. So, because I just wanted to see, can I do this? Can I get this thing done? Can I get it over the finish line? So it was a very deeply personal challenge. And they knew I was writing the book. They saw me at the typewriter, you know, at the keyboard, typing and writing and sharing some different things about what I was writing. So they have not read the book, although I want them to. They just haven't put it into their schedules. Yeah. But yeah, I want them to read the book. I've had someone tell me like, this is a great kind of historical document. I don't know what you'd want to call it, but this is information that will be good for them to know. So ultimately they are proud of me for completing this project, getting it done, getting it published. So that's where they are now. They're proud of me, but I hope they'll read it when they get the chance.
That's beautiful. I also love that it's you telling your own story.
It is very much so. Yes. The book originated from a lot of journals that I had kept over the years. And when I was thinking about a book and writing, where am I going to get the material? Okay. I have some pre-written material in the journals, and literally like a stack of journals I would go through and pull out what could be relevant for the book. So it was quite an undertaking, but yes, yes. After about 18 months of writing and editing and all of that, it got done. So it is, I'm proud of it. And I know some people can write books faster, but for me, I just felt like I needed to go at a pace that felt good for me and wanted to read it and reread it and edit it. So that the story not only told my story, but I really wanted it to be in service to other people who could be going through some of the things that I went through. And some of the things that I went through, especially in my relationship, I couldn't find a book or a resource that really spoke to me to what I was going through. And I did have therapists and coaches at the time, but I couldn't find a book with the stories. So I also was hoping this book could be some stories in my lessons so that someone else perhaps didn't have to feel like they were walking alone. It's like, oh, she went through it. I'm going through these things. Maybe there's some nuggets of wisdom or information in the book that could help. So that's really, I couldn't write a book about me and just, it had to be about someone else at the end of the day. It's a book to help someone else.
Well, and I definitely felt that in reading it. It's also, I mean, I love that you have the prompts, you know, the different places throughout, and it is very much of a guide. I mean, it feels like I'm walking beside you as I'm reading it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, and it's nice to have something, as you said, that is a resource for other people that are going through similar circumstances, because it's, you know, there's all these theories and mindsets. I mean, we're both coaches, so we can speak to this, but when you're putting them into practice, that's the hard part.
It is the hard part. That is like that's it right there, is putting it into practice. We can read the books, we can listen to the podcast, we can do the journaling, but then there comes a point where we have to take some action, or we don't have to take the action, but we can choose to take the action. So hopefully in a book like this or other podcasts like this, people can find that inspiration and that courage to dip in and take a small step. Or take a medium step, take a step that feels right for them at the right time.
Yeah. Well, brava. Brava.
Thank you.
We're going to cut to a break. When we come back, I'd love to talk more about the courage of the journey and also the discomfort of that, because sometimes we do these things and we talk about them like it just happens overnight, and this definitely didn't. So everybody stay tuned. You're listening to The Courage Effect. We'll be right back. Courage takes on many forms. I know from personal experience that one of the most courageous things we can do is to recognize when we need help and seek out support. If you're going through a hard time, feeling like something is interfering with your happiness or the ability to achieve your goals, therapy can give you tools to approach your life in a very different way. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and accessible. It's an online platform where you can be matched with a professional therapist in as little as a few days. For more information and to get matched with a therapist, go to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/courage. Visiting this link both supports this show and gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp. So if you're struggling, consider online therapy with BetterHelp.
Easy on the ears, good for the soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to The Courage Effect. This is Suzanne, and I am in conversation with Kate Walker. So Kate and I are talking about her book, a candid conversation, lessons in life, love, and leadership. And one of the things that, you know, as we spent the first half of the show talking about the courageous acts, all of the different pivot points that you've been through in your life, Kate, this is not easy work. And I know that when we tend to tell these courageous stories, sometimes we will generalize because there's only so much we're going to tell about it. But I'd love for you to maybe talk a little bit about the discomfort, you know, the sitting in that danger and what that was like for you.
Yes, that is such a great question. And I'm thinking of my decision to quit my corporate job in April 2021, which felt like the right decision to make. And I'd made all my lists, my pros and cons and what I have to do to prepare and all these different things. I had a coach. And then you do it. And it feels insane. It feels insane. And I believe one of the quotes I have in my book, or something I mentioned in my book, is leap and the net will appear. And I did think a lot about that quote as I was getting ready to quit. It's like, you know what? You know, you want to go in a bit of a direction. You have to leap. And I hope, I'm going to cross my fingers, I hope that that net is there, because here I go. And after quitting that job, and I had an idea of what I wanted to do, but I hadn't done a ton of preparation when I was in my corporate job, because one thing is that we were discouraged from having second jobs or from moonlighting. It was really all about the company and the company business, which I understand. So yeah. I prepared the business a little bit, but I couldn't prepare it all the way. I knew I had to just for my own personal integrity and all that. I knew I had to leave before I could really get the business up and going. So that said, it was not ready to go when I walked out. And I remember taking walks, just trying to calm myself down, or, you know, keep moving, stay active. And there were times when I just felt like I needed to drop to my knees and just say, this feels bad. Like, I'm scared. I'm freaking out. I don't exactly know where this is going. I have two kids. One is about to go to college in a couple of months. Like, what? How's this going to work? So I'm glad I made the decision, obviously, in hindsight as well. But when you're in it, it can feel really, really scary, for lack of a better. That's probably just the most, kind of the biggest word I can use, is really, really scary. So it's a matter of sitting through the fear, sitting through the discomfort, trusting, believing in yourself, knowing that this will work out. And for me, I had to use a lot of mantras. All is well, you know, everything is working out for the best for me and everybody involved. Really playing a lot of mind games, which I still do to this day, positive affirmations to get my mind in the right place. But making courageous decisions can sound very sexy and very glamorous, and it is. It can be very sexy and very glamorous, but there is also the other side of fear and sitting in the fear and trying to figure out how to get through the fear. So I have lived that. I've lived it.
Yes, I have too.
Yes.
And one of my mantras was, you got this.
I love that one. Yes. Yes.
So basic, right? I mean, or like trust myself, like just these things. Cause I would imagine for you too, April 2021, I mean, that's pandemic time. So that must have been a little erratic
as well.
It was
pandemic time. It was still pandemic time. Yes. It was still active. As you mentioned at the start, at the kickoff, I had been working in global corporations. Really, I love my job that I was at, but during the pandemic, working in human resources as one of the HR leaders on the team, we were working on COVID policy daily, you know, the 8 a.m. COVID call. Mm-hmm. And after a while, it began to also solidify my decision that it's time for me to go, because I didn't want to work on COVID policy. Like, that just wasn't lighting me up also. So in analyzing my job and my decision to leave, I had to think about, well, what does light you up? What do you want to do? So there were a lot of things at the corporate job I love, but then some things that you have to do, which I know how to do, like COVID policy, building the COVID policy. That was something where I knew I wouldn't miss those meetings. So, you know, it's weighing different things like that, but yes.
Well, you know. And as you said at the beginning of the show, your callings, really listening to your heart.
Absolutely. And that's not easy to do. And I write about this in the book, but we make big decisions in, even in high school or maybe after high school and make a decision, I'm going to take this job and then I'm going to marry this person. And then you just, it's everybody's locked in for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. You're locked in the same job with the same person, and you might be extremely happy, or you might have those yearnings like, you know, I don't know that this job is really, really lighting me up anymore. And so it's listening to those different inner conversations or the inner wisdom. Yeah. And having the courage to say, I hear it. Okay. I hear that voice. What am I going to do? Let me think about it. Let me maybe journal on it. Let me find a book maybe that describes how I'm feeling or what I'm thinking. But it is, listening to that voice can be, it can be scary. It can also be very, it can really like change your life in an amazing way if you follow it. So there's a lot of sides to it.
Yeah. One of the other things that also really struck me in your book was the thoughts about money.
Oh boy. Oh yeah.
And that's a big one, I think, as women in general. I mean, even though, I mean, I was raised to be like, you can do whatever you want. You can, you know, but there's still like these gremlins that are in there. And I know this is for men and for women, but especially when you're quitting your job, when you're going out on your own. But you, I know you had a mindset of, I'm just not good with money. And you
yes.
had to get over that.
Yes, I had a lot of different mindset blocks. I grew up in a very frugal household. So that's how I was programmed. I was programmed for frugality, and I was programmed for, that's too expensive. We can't afford that. That was normal for me. Those scripts, that's how I grew up. Of course it's normal. And it was very normal for me even getting into my career. Of course I would start at the lowest entry point of pay. Like, why wouldn't you? It's not normal. So yeah, you have to live and learn a little bit to understand, wait a minute, there are some different choices here. There's some different paths we can take. And it really, I don't think I really started to wrap my mind around money mindset until I found the book, The Secret, where it was a lot of, you know, money comes easily and frequently. That's still a mantra or an affirmation I say today. Checks come in the mail. Those are things I learned really in The Secret, and then decided I like that. I like that way of thinking, and I have nothing to lose. I'm going to try it. So that was really the beginning of trying to change my money mindset. And I have changed it a great, great deal. Even as entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, getting this tax bill, it's like a sticker shock, like, oh my God, that's a huge tax bill. What? And then flipping it to, I guess I made a lot of money. Wow, that's a great thing. I can't wait to pay my taxes so that I can pay teacher salaries. I can pay for the stop signs and the stoplights. So it's a mental game, for lack of a better word, and trying to flip the script on your deep programming for what you think money is or how it should work.
Yeah. I mean, and that's huge. That's huge. I mean, on so many different levels. And I mean, just as you said, you know, like the idea of normal, you were really like needing to question normal in air quotes.
Oh, definitely.
In so many aspects of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, normal is a lot from our childhood programming.
Yeah.
What we were taught, it's very normal. You know, checking price tags, that's very normal, isn't it? Well, maybe not for some people. So these are, it's interesting to stop and ask those questions, ask what you believe and why. Is it still true? It might be still true. But maybe it's not true. Maybe there's a new truth.
Yeah. And the stories that we tell around all of those.
Yes. Yes. Busting some of the stories can be very helpful.
Yes. Well, and your book seems to be a lot about that. And I, that's one of the reasons why I really like the prompts that you have too, is that, you know, it is about how do we just pay attention a little bit more to where we're spending our time, putting our attention. And how do we potentially want to shift that? Because we're boxing ourselves in a lot of situations.
Absolutely. And I know we all have to live and learn. I get that. But some of the things I know now, I wish I'd known them a while ago. And maybe I wasn't ready to know them a while ago. I'm not sure. But again, one of the reasons I wrote the book is maybe that 20, 30 something person will find the book and see some of these lessons and learnings and do some of the journal prompts and get a little bit ahead of the game in some areas. Unlike me, I'm a little late to the party in some of the things. And I do have to say, I'm proud of myself for putting it down on paper and sharing, because it is vulnerable. It is personal. And you can open yourself up to criticism. Like, well, that's, you know, I mean, I'm probably my own worst critic, but, you know, Kate, why are you doing this? Why are you sharing this? Like, it's very personal. Or why would just keep it to yourself? But again, it's like, no, let's reframe it. There are a lot of lessons in here that I hope can help someone else. So trying to get out of my own way in that regard as well.
It's beautiful. Well, and it's also, it makes me think of moving from the victim mindset to the empowered mindset.
Oh, goodness, yes. Goodness, yes. Even in my 20s, 30s, I did not see myself as a victim at all, at all. But in some ways, I was still working through that because it does take a lot of awareness to get to a place of empowerment. And I'm still learning, absolutely. But it does feel like a good place to be when you're not so much in the victim situation.
Yeah. So what does the future hold for Kate Walker?
Good question. Well, I might be making another courageous leap in actually moving to a new location once my son graduates high school, then my nest is empty. And so rewriting kind of where I live and all of those things. So that's a decision I'll probably make over the summer as to what I'm doing, where I'm going next. That feels very exciting and very scary too. I live in the Bay Area. I've been here for a long, long time. So I have a lot of just roots here and some of my work is here. So geographic location will be one thing, and then really trying to continue growing the business, helping different managers and leaders in corporations get better at what they do and tapping into helping them as well and growing the business in that way. So growing the business, launching kids to college, and maybe moving. And not a second book either. I've been asked, am I writing a second book? No, not at this time. Never say never, but probably not.
Love that you're pretty definitive in that. Like, this is
Yeah,
good.
it was quite a commitment. So yes.
Well, as we wrap up, I just want to share a few things that I had heard you speak about today. Callings, listening to yourself and really, that instinct, that gut, paying attention to it. And I love that quote, "Leap and a net will appear."
Yes,
So having
yes.
that trust, the faith, and some of the belief that's there. And in the same process, questioning normal and how are we potentially holding ourselves back?
Yes, I love that. Thank you.
Yeah,
Yes.
thank you. So any final thoughts as we wrap today? Thank you for being here, Kate.
Thank you. Well, I think courage is a really amazing thing. It takes courage to be courageous. So I would say for any of your listeners out there that are thinking about a small move or a medium move or a big move, do your lists and your pros and cons and find the podcasts and find the books and then make that decision that really that inner knowing that inner wisdom is guiding you to. There's probably something there to listen to. So listen to it, try it, go for it. One last thing too, something I read about in the book is as I was considering leaving my corporate job, there was a podcast that I came upon, and the woman in the podcast talked about the 1 year experiment. And she had left a job and said, I can do anything for a year. I can try anything for a year. So let me leave this job and let me go try my own business for a year. And if it doesn't work out, I can go back. So if you are making big decisions, you can always make a different decision later if it doesn't work out. But it's pretty incredible to try it. So I encourage your listeners to give it a try and see how it goes. And I'm so supporting them.
I love that, the window of experimentation. So I'm gonna
Yes,
aim for that
yes.
more. So awesome. Kate, a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for the book. And I look forward to it being in more people's hands and getting more people empowered and courageous. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you.
Thanks everybody for listening. Stay courageous.